brand new state representative in the 107th district is here. She's a Republican, comes from the Higgins Valley. Higgins proper, per se, is that an incorporated borough or just a region down there?
It's a Higgins Township, yeah.
Higgins Township, okay, so that's what that's the municipality she's from. And now there is a state house office in Higgins. I saw the ribbon cutting pictures and
yes,
everything on your Facebook page, so you got that down there. Joanne Stair is the brand new representative, and she's got a district that's kind of shifted out of Montour County and farther into Schuylkill County, and that's the 107th district that Kurt Mosser held until he stepped down. So welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything you'd like to say to our audience in advance? You're talking to your entire listening areas within, or your entire service areas within our listening area.
Well, again, 4 months into it, I'm absolutely humbled and appreciative of the amount of support I've continued to have. I'm very lucky to have the specific area that I'm covering, the lower end of Northumberland County, which has just been wonderful. We're welcomed in Shamokin with open arms. People were very supportive of bringing the office down to Shamokin in downtown, right in the center of everything. We also have our satellite offices over in Herndon-Dalmatia area. We're going to be doing kind of town halls and per needs in the Pine Grove area, and of course we have the office in Higgins. So we're just getting situated. We're fully staffed. We're ready to serve our constituents.
Now, you knew what your state representative used to do and kind of how they behaved and how they acted and so on. Did you have any idea that this is what it would be like to be a state representative?
Well, I'll tell you what. It is really hard. I am going from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9, 10 o'clock at night. There's always something going on and something you always perceive to be, if it's important to them, it's important to you. So that's kind of where I've been going, morning, noon, and night. And I couldn't be happier to do it. The Harrisburg situation, I think it's a lot of drama, to say the least. I think that's where I was shocked the most, you know, just to see just kind of how dysfunctional some things can ride along down there. It's been an eye-opener.
Well, is the people's business getting done in the House these days?
It is. It's very. It's going to be very difficult to get anything on the Republican side done at this point with being in the minority. We have a lot of Democratic legislation, a lot of liberal bills going through that maybe would not be supported by the Republicans at this time.
Well, there was quite a bit of activity yesterday with respect to gun control.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, discussions on this program for the last 17 years about common sense gun laws that will make us safer. Is there anything that was proposed in Harrisburg yesterday that you felt was common sense that would make us safer?
Well, I'm 100% Second Amendment. Do not infringe means just that. If we start opening up our constitutional amendments, to discussion, I think that's where we're going to start finding you give them an inch, they take a yard. And that's been my stance all along. I've had tons of emails and letters saying, Joanne, do not support any kind of gun law, gun bans, gun anything. And these are the people who voted me in, and I am their voice, and that's where I will stand 100% behind any kind of laws or anything going through. Anti-gun laws will not be something I'll be voting with, including amendments.
Would you consider a red flag law an anti-gun law?
Red flag laws are to the most part unconstitutional, in my opinion. You know, there are people who should not have guns out there, and I think that's a question that we need to consider, but you know, when it comes right down to it, you have a neighbor dispute or something like that going on in your neighborhood, and they want to get back at you and call the cops and say, oh, they're unstable or whatever. You know, it can be used. Putting that into legislation could be unconstitutionally used against you for no apparent reason.
But there was an amendment yesterday to make it a felony to give a false report.
False.
Does that do anything to ameliorate your concerns?
Well, certainly that would help. But, you know, they're pushing that now to try to get legislation like that across the board. But would it already happen? You know, a lot of the amendments were shot down. They were withdrawn. withdrawn. And, you know, so you can't really count on that. Once it's in, it's in. So I feel as a constitutional Republican, I just think we don't open that door to step on any kind or infringe on any of our Second Amendment rights.
This might be an unfair question because I think you voted on 300 things yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember any other amendments to the gun laws that were proposed that Republicans supported? I know all the Republicans supported that making it a felony to falsely turn in somebody for a red flag. Do you remember any of the other ones?
And I think a lot of them were withdrawn.
It was only nine hours.
They'd get up there. We'd hear like 6 hours of speeches on their proposal and why they wanted these amendments to go through and stuff like that. And a lot of, I will be a no on any kind of legislation. Do not infringe means just that. We start opening up our constitutional amendments to interpretation by maybe a liberal majority. I think that's where we're going to find ourselves really getting in trouble because when they get the red flag passed, next thing you know is they're going to go on to the next and the next, just like they did with abortion. You know, it's okay for 24 weeks, but now we can abort a baby, you know, to the day before birth.
You acquiesce to the 24 weeks as a pro-life person, but you'll say that's okay in Pennsylvania?
I'm not saying that's okay. You know, a child becomes viable, a baby becomes viable at 20 to 21 weeks. So that's a viable child you're aborting. You know, so I am a pro-life stance. I stand by that. Majority of my constituents who voted me in, that is their voice. Are there exceptions to the rules? The liberals will not tell you. They're telling people if you would have an ectopic pregnancy. So let me use that as an example. An ectopic pregnancy, they would let you lay there and hemorrhage to death. And it's like, no. There's always going to be exceptions to the rules for abortions. A lot of times, in a multiple pregnancy, you'll have one fetus that did not survive. It needs to be aborted. You know, these are languages. Abortion will always be in our language, you know, but aborting a perfectly healthy fetus, in my book, at 24 weeks, which is a viable child, is really crossing the line for me.
You had mentioned, Joe had mentioned gun safety. Joe, mention that idea about gun safety or gun usage or gun-related calls, if you can, in Shamokin Dam.
No, that's not for the public.
Okay. So people, well, regardless of that, mm-hmm. then, people have concerns about gun safety. You know, gun-related calls are more common for law enforcement region-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything that can be done about that? And maybe it doesn't relate to gun laws. Maybe it's something else.
Well, and I think we have tons of gun laws already on the books. I just think they need to be enforced. I think that's a lot of our problem. There are illegal guns out there. We need to start capturing them, arresting people who are carrying guns illegally. But legal, law-abiding citizens should always have the right to protect themselves. And now, more than ever, with the crime rates and some of the crimes that are being committed.
Will you support my mandatory packing law that requires everyone to carry a gun?
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Okay, thank you. Good.
You know,
see,
we've got two
cockamamie guests on the show.
I actually think gun safety is important. As a woman, I've been around guns all my life. My brothers are hunters. You know, I've been around guns all my life. Do I feel like Wyatt Earp, I can go walking around with a gun? I don't know how I would feel. Part of our outreach program is gun safety courses for women who feel like they want to carry a gun or are in situations. Walking around the streets of Harrisburg, I find myself in this thing like, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a gun hanging on me. And I do have my carrying permit.
Boy, I feel unsafe. Both of you have carry permits, and I don't.
Well, you know, it's a constitutional, you know.
Necessarily.
I think it's a right we should all have to protect ourselves and our families. As a single mother in a rural area, you know, you never know what kind of nut's going to come walking up on your porch, and you're out there vulnerable.
Let me ask you, your background is as a nurse.
Yes.
And, you know, you what committees have you been assigned to? That anything involving health? Or
Office of Senior Services. So that would be great, especially up here in Northumberland County. I have a soft spot for our veterans, and they commingle as an agency. So that is going to be exciting to see, you know, what I can do in that arena. And also liquor control. So I don't know if they were sending me a message like they think I'm an old drunker, but I don't. but certainly I look forward to all aspects of serving on the Liquor Control as well as the Office of Aging.
Well, Liquor Control, that's still being run by our former congressman, isn't it?
Timmy Holden.
Timmy Holden, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He did a great job when he was our congressman around here. So
Timmy, I didn't know who you knew him.
I don't know him that well. Joanne knows him.
I know Timmy Holden, actually.
Okay.
Timmy Holden, you know, he had a great support from both the Republican and the Democrat Party. And everybody says, oh, we don't have a congressman like Timmy Holden. And I said, you know what? He promised everybody. And I'm not trying to sell him under the bus because now I'm going to be working with him on the Liquor Control. But his first vote was an anti-gun bill, and he voted with party versus his constituents' voice. And I think that is something I want to keep in my mind. People voted me in, you know, because of my pro-Second Amendment stance, and I want to remember that when I ever get on the floor, the opportunity that I'm going to vote with my party as well as my constituents and their voice.
Forgive me, but you don't sound like someone who's going to be reaching across the aisle to try and arrive at a compromise with Democrats.
No, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
I've signed on to some bills with Democrats. There's actually a health licensing committee that I'm going to be joining, a caucus. Very good people with the social issues. I think I'm the kind of person who'd give you the shirt off my back, and I have to wind that back, you know, a little bit, because we can't, you know, our taxpayers are ultimately the people on the hook for this, these wonderful ideas and, you know, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner and after-school care and everything like that. You know, when does it come to a point? It's like, okay, I think the parents need to step in here and, you know, provide a meal every now and again, or after school care. Certainly we can help with stuff like that, but, you know, when does it go too far that our taxpayers, who maybe don't have children or children, raised their children and fed their children and took them to babysitters and paid babysitters to care for them, when do they get off the hook for some of these social issues? So, no, don't put me in that category of not reaching across the aisle. I certainly, there's some very good, very, very bright constituents on the other side that I would look forward to working with some of their ideas and their mindset. You know, when it comes to the more liberal end of the thing, I'm a no.
Well, what would you like to accomplish? In other words, if Joanne was in charge of the agenda, legislative agenda in the House of Representatives, what would be on the docket?
The docket is to get back into the majority. That's going to be my most important thing to help, like Mike run for Linda's seat.
Mike Stender, right?
Yes, Mike Stender. He's a nice guy, firefighter, good family man. To get him in a winning position, to keep him in a winning position, to maintain all of our winning positions, and to get us back into the majority is probably a top priority for legislature, because we're really not going to get anywhere with what we're doing now at this point.
Okay, if you had the majority, what kind of legislation would you like to see move?
I'd like to see the Second Amendment protected. I'd like to reform maybe some of the abortion issues to go with more of my pro-life stance. But I, being new into this situation, to see what we can do as a party is something I'm looking forward to, because I really think we can do some good things.
Oops.
I really am concerned about some of the obstacles we have to jump through and the hoops from these non-elected officials in permitting. That's a concern of mine, that the hoops we go, the millions and millions of dollars we're spending on seven different agencies to approve one little bridge or infrastructure or anything like that. I think we need to really narrow that down and not have so many opinions, non-elected opinions, as to what's appropriate and what's not appropriate for infrastructure and building and helping to get our communities together. We really have no incentive for businesses to grow in our areas because it is a hassle. I sat in on a policy committee, and just to see the ups and downs, this one will say do it this way, this one will do it this way, this one will do it this way. It's like, what are these people, you know, seven different people have seven different opinions, and it's costing millions of dollars at a time. So I think if we could straight-line some of those issues for people who want to come to our community and want to build in our community and open up, you know, whether it be tax incentives or even streamlining permitting, I think is a good idea.
Yeah, we hear that from a lot of folks. Kurt Mosser used to talk about that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, it's a joke. It's an absolute
business
joke.
Background.
No common sense.
If Ben Reichle were here, he would say DEP stands for deny every permit. So.
Well, you know, that's what it is.
who are
these unelected officials making these decisions? That's what I'd like to say.
But the DEP would tell you they actually don't deny very many permits.
I always like what Governor Rendell used to say. He said, it used to be NIMBY, not in my backyard. He said it was banana, build absolutely nothing anywhere near anybody.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. All right, so we got it from the Republican side of the table there. The DEPs need reform. Well, Senator Yaw proposed a name change, but a reform measure, so maybe that'll go through and you'll get to see that if you haven't already.
All right, one of our listeners, Rob, says, I want to preface my question by saying that I only know Joe from his voice on the radio. I also want to say that I put about 600 miles a week on my company van, driving on highways and in towns. Drivers that speed are the greatest cause of accidents, near accidents, and upset drivers that I can see. Here's my question. When are local police departments going to be allowed to have radar? The money-making argument is very weak.
Oh, I thought he was going to tell you to slow down.
No.
That's funny.
Well, I've received lots of different opinions on the radar legislation, and I spoke to different police. Actually, Barry Joswick is a retired police officer, and said, you know, where do we stand on this? Is it good? Is it going to be a money maker for the local police forces? Are they actually going to take this money in? And do they, you know, should they have that authority? So that's going to be something that's coming up. There are radar questions.
But the Senate bill that is supported by the State Mayors Association puts limits on how much money any municipality can make. And really, when you stop to think about it, isn't the legislature, by being the only state that doesn't allow municipal police to use radar, saying, in effect, that Pennsylvania's municipalities can't be trusted, that they're crooked, that all they're going to do is try and grab money out of this? Couldn't it possibly be that they're concerned about safety in their communities?
Exactly.
And even this is a passionate issue for me, even if we want to enforce it on local roads in the borough, we would have to submit that to PennDOT for them to come back and say the speed limit was reasonable. I mean, there are all sorts of safeguards in the Senate bill. It's the same bill, basically, that was in the House last semester, but it just never seems to get out of committee.
And I think it's because there's a lot of people protesting it. They don't want to give the municipalities that that power, and they're calling it like a money grab kind of thing. So it'd have to come before me, and I'd have to see how it's written, how many thousands of amendments are added to it.
Right.
And before it came up for a vote, that I would make a decision on that. You know, certainly we need to protect our streets. I have lunatics driving by my house at 40 miles an hour on the other side of the road on a curve. You know, would I like to see municipalities?
It's a 15 mile per hour speed limit there.
Right.
Give me your address. I'll come by at high speed.
Yeah. You know, so it's certainly an issue. You know, people are afraid to cross the street.
Right.
Because you never know when some lunatic's going to come flying through.
Well, you've had 4 months now?
4 months.
How's the governor doing?
Well, I'm a little pleasantly surprised. I think some of his positions have been very favorable. One of them was streamlining for 6 months for permitting, you know, and I think there's good and bad and all of that. Like I said, I was a little pleasantly surprised with some of his things. There's lots of money coming to the state. I think that $5 billion rainy day fund will be probably depleted till the end of the year. Lots of people are getting lots of money. He is looking out for our farmers, which was a concern of mine. I think that's very important that we're looking out for them. Veterans, everybody's getting some money. Like the school districts and stuff like that, I really, you know, I don't know that our local school districts are getting the financial support we should be seeing. I think a lot of it is going towards the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh areas as usual. I think, you know, they put lots of money into different things like that.
So. Right, a couple more questions. Legalizing pot is already come up and taxing the heck out of it. Your view on that topic?
Well, that's an iffy subject, and I'm sure it's how it would be supported. And you know, the medical marijuana portion of it, Do I want people like that driving around with my 16-year-old son driving around? You know, it's an influence. Certainly it's an influence. Are there people who are seeing benefits from that? Absolutely. So, again, I think I would have to see how it's writing up. And
we have a listener who's got a quick question. What is your question for our guest? Go ahead.
Okay, question for Joe. I mean, as far as like the businesses are concerned, what legislation can help them, like with tax breaks and all that kind of thing? And is that under your jurisdiction?
All right. Yeah, tax breaks for businesses to grow would be one thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Bobby. Know, that is something I certainly would support. To give the different infrastructures and different businesses come to our that tax incentive to grow in our certainly in the 107th.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We'll give you a closing remark. Anything to add? Anything you want to talk about? Maybe we didn't ask.
Yeah, you got the floor here.
No. Well, I just wanted to give a shout out to my fellow Freedom Caucus members. I was told when I went down there by some of the establishment that don't tell anybody you're a Freedom Caucus member. And I said, that they said they'll put a target on you. And I said, well, everybody knows I'm a very conservative Republican. And I said, they not only can put a target on me, they can put a badge on me because I will definitely wear it as a badge. I'm a proud Freedom Caucus member. I support our conservative values, and like I said, shout out to them to help us keeping on the straight and narrow for being more conservative. Although I do represent all, so I do represent, you know, the different opinions that we come across, but I'm more on the conservative side.
Well, there's an old expression that the minority gets its say, but the majority gets its way.
Right.
Do you subscribe to that?
100% I prescribe to that. That's exactly, and that's why we need to get the house back.
All right, well, I got a lot to say before you leave the building, but
sure.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure, Mark.
You got an open mic anytime, so do come back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Joanne Stair, 107th District State House member, still a freshman in Harrisburg, but her learning curve is straight up. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.